today to tell our government to fund our future, not gas. Before we begin today's strike, I would like to acknowledge the First Nations people whose land we are gathering on here today, the land of the Muwinina people. We acknowledge elders past, present and emerging and recognise that this land was never ceded and that there can be no climate justice without First Nations justice. The last year has been very challenging for everyone, of course with COVID, but also the increasingly visible impacts of climate change that it's having on our world, such as the California bushfires, the flash floods in Indonesia, and many others, many more local to us. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Helena.
And we are back again to MC this strike. This strike, we are demanding that the government does not go forward with its gas-led recovery and instead funds renewable energies. Our three demands for this government are resourcing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander-led solutions to that guarantee land rights and care for country. Funding the creation of secure jobs that fast-track solutions to the climate crisis and help communities recover. And funding projects that transition our economy and communities to 100% renewable energy by 2030 through the expansion of public ownership. Before we get started, we just have a few housekeeping rules to go over. If there are any lost children, illnesses, or if you feel any distress, please go over to the St. John's ambulance over there. If you have any other issues, please seek out our marshals. They'll be roaming around or at the entrances in yellow vests. Don't hesitate to approach them. They're all lovely. Please, please try and remain socially distant. I know we haven't had any cases for a while in Tasmania, but it's still really important that we keep it that way. So please social distance. If you have a mask, please put it on. Try and remain clear of the footpaths at all times. And if you have a disability, please come to the front so that you can see better. We would also like to note, very importantly, that this is a peaceful and legal protest. The organisers of this event have worked so hard to make sure that we have been through all of the necessary procedures to ensure that this is a legal protest. Please, please do not in any way compromise this by taking any further actions or taking this protest further than it needs to go. We don't want any sit-ins or any illegal protests after or during this organised event. Even if you are doing it as you're involved with another organisation, it's going to reflect on our organisation. So please think again before doing anything. If you need to leave the event, please leave by the Salamanca exit. And if you need to enter again, you will need to enter through near the wharf at the very front of the venue. Please, if you have not used the TAS check-in app, please go do so at the entrance now. And if you want to join School Strike organising team, look around for the QR codes on the backs of our lovely marshals, and there is a sign-in form on there. Please don't hesitate to approach any of the organisers or any of the marshals if you have any issues. First up today, we have a student environment leader from Clarence High, Owen Fitzgerald. Can we please give him a super warm welcome to the stage?
There are so many people here today, all of different ages, beliefs, backgrounds and ideals. But we are gathered today with one common objective. We believe that our government has been inactive on major climate issues for too long. As a result, we have to forgo our education to pursue those in power to create our future. We will not stand by and watch, and we certainly will not deny the changes we see, because the earth we know and love has given us too much to simply let it die. Our future starts now, not in 5, 10, or 100 years, but now. There are a number of issues that I want to bring to light today, which are affecting the planet and our lives. Today, I will discuss the logging of native forests in Tasmania, followed by the tourism industry and COVID-19. Obviously, the tourism industry was heavily affected by COVID-19. However, we can also learn a great deal from this experience and use our newfound knowledge to our advantage. I will then give you my concluding thoughts on the important changes we as students demand to see in our schools. I don't know about you, but every day I can see how climate change is affecting the world around me, the way the seasons are mixed up. We had a cool summer and are expecting a warm winter. The plants are experiencing change too. They flower at odd times, or sometimes not at all. The earth we know is changing. This is why we are here today. Although some climate change is natural, the rate at which the earth is heating is out of control. From the mid-20th century onward, the average surface temperature of the globe has risen exponentially. It was 1 degree Celsius in 2016 and 2020, compared to negative 0.4 degrees 100 years ago. All 10 warmest years on record have occurred since 2005. Seven of these were since 2014. That scares me. All of these statistics are skyrocketing and show no sign of stopping. So why aren't we doing anything to stop this? Here in Tasmania, we have a sense of complacency. The state is powered by what we are told is renewable energy. So we think that reducing carbon emissions doesn't apply to us. Unfortunately, it does, and we must do better. Our cars, trucks, and public transport emit huge amounts of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, yet no one does anything about it. Why? The logging of native forests in Tasmania is a major threat to our iconic wilderness. Almost 29,000 hectares of the Tarkine Forest is active logging space, meaning the government has allowed permission for the forest to be logged, burned, and destroyed. This is threatening the lives of native Tasmanian species like the masked owl, Tasmanian devil, giant freshwater crayfish, and the swift parrot, which is likely to be extinct in just 10 years. We all keep asking ourselves how we let the Tasmanian tiger become extinct, and many more besides, but it is happening again to helpless native species. Additionally, these trees are essential carbon vaults. They absorb carbon from the atmosphere as part of the process of photosynthesis. Maintaining the balance between carbon emissions and the effect those emissions have on the environment. Trees store carbon in their wood, and it is only released after the tree has either been burned or has rotted over time. So by allowing the forest to be logged and burned, we are killing our best solutions to slow and prevent climate change. Keeping the balance between human impact and the environment is essential to gain a better understanding of how we as a society and our federal and state governments can make changes that help prevent climate change, but that don't affect industries, job employment, and life as we know and understand it today. We can create a more sustainable Tasmania without the loss of jobs. We need our politicians and governments to take us seriously and start climate action. We need our native forests to be protected. We need this change to happen so that we can secure our future. Our future starts now. This event demonstrates the power that I want to see being put into action. I want to follow this action as a young leader and see a difference be made in my lifetime, not 100 years from now. We as students want to be recognised as people who have ideas and will be contributing to solutions. The change will not happen unless we implement it ourselves into our daily lives. And this is why we so strongly call for action. We recognise the hardship it may take. We know that the solutions we want will not happen overnight, and we do not want people to stand up for a cause where they see no future. Today, I not only want to represent a community of concerned young people, but a community of young people who have a voice and have real ideas and know it's not all bad. Earlier, I mentioned Tasmania's unsustainable clearing of native forests. I now ask our government, more than ever, to remain vigilant and aware of these practices and what that looks like. We want clear and unbiased media to report on sustainable development and deliver a clear message of the truth. We demand change in the truth, Our future starts now. Due to COVID-19, the Tasmanian environment has had a much needed rest from pollution and damage caused by the huge tourism industry in Tasmania. Across Australia, emissions fell to the lowest they have been for more than a decade. Unfortunately, these short-term reductions are due to start rising again as we rebuild from the pandemic. We understand that huge changes cannot always be implemented straight away, but for the survival of the planet, we have to start somewhere. Small changes can spark the fire of transformation. Obviously, the tourism industry in Tasmania cannot be abandoned, and I am not asking for that. But the environment cannot remain neglected. Tasmania's tourism industry is heavily dependent on nature. Our national parks and spectacular views are one of a kind and primarily considered the main tourist attraction in Tasmania. Without it, we are just an island of small cities and towns, nothing compared to the towering heights of Sydney or Melbourne. In order to achieve thriving tourism, our wilderness must be preserved. I see great opportunity in creating achievable and financially viable steps towards solutions for our governments. If we as students can see the advantages that can be gained from finding sustainable solutions, then why can't our government see them? During the pandemic, we saw changes in society all around us. We saw more people plant gardens, supplying themselves with their own produce, and buying at local markets and small businesses. We were restricted to our homes because of COVID-19, but the community felt stronger than ever. People stayed home and used their cars less. They made their own clothes or bought online from a local business that did not rely on interstate or overseas tourism. These all happened to be very sustainable practices that weren't difficult to implement into our lives. Why can't this continue? The government could invest in sustainable industries and create more jobs, allowing these industries to thrive. This would reduce the unemployment rate in Tasmania and keep our money in the state, which is what they want, isn't it? I have a question that I want to put forward to the government. Tasmania's economy relies heavily on tourism. We know that for a fact. But how much of the tourism industry itself relies on natural Tasmanian wonders, such as our native forests, beaches, and mountain ranges? What are people coming here to see? They are not coming to look at our buildings, are they? They are coming to see something different. They come to see something real and alive. If we continue logging, burning, and mining our land, we will not have a strong tourism industry. If we let our environment die, what percentage of our tourism industry goes with it? If the government created more tourist attractions out of the native environment while maintaining it in a sustainable manner, then the job employment could rise yet again. In this case, it would be a win-win. Tasmania gets a booming tourism industry, as well as the termination of unsustainable practices that are destroying biodiversity and the ecosystems. Our future starts now. I am here today demanding our government change the current practices that are harming our beautiful Tasmanian environments and destroying our futures, as well as taking immediate action to solve these issues. We as students want to be taught about the climate crisis within schools. We go to school to learn. We go to school to work for our futures. But our future is the climate crisis. And if it continues, we will have no future. I demand change in the education system. We have a right to know what is happening and what our future looks like. The media is such a large part of everyday life now, but it can be biased and confusing to navigate. Lies and manipulation are so intertwined that we never know what to believe. Yet when it comes to climate change, The only information we as students can get is from the internet. But why is that? Our government must understand that we need to know what our future looks like if the climate crisis continues. We need to be taught in our schools what our future looks like and could look like if the climate crisis continues. The climate crisis is not just something affecting only adults. It is changing our lives as students and young adults, and we have a right to our future. How many times have you heard this line? Your generation will be the one to fix this mess. Because I hear it endlessly. And although I hope it is true, there is a problem. Why is it always adults telling us this? They pretend that the time is not right or that someone else will solve it for them. That responsibility falls onto us as your children. Except when I decide I want to find a solution, you tell me that I am too young or don't understand what is going on in the world. Maybe I don't, but I am willing to try as hard as I can rather than stand back as you do. Stop dismissing the only people who can save the planet from self-destruction. Listen to us. We have ideas. We have the passion and determination needed in order to make a change. We have been hidden in the dark too long. We deserve a right to our lives, and we deserve the right to our future. We refuse to remain quiet as we watch our futures being destroyed. We refuse to see the government fund and support causes that are killing our native forests, the environment, and the biodiversity that Tasmania holds. If we as students can see what is happening to our lives, to our communities, and to the earth itself, why can't our government see that we are in need of help? We need the government's help to create change and save our future. I now ask our federal and state governments directly to take a risk, to plunge into the deep end. From a young age, those around us, those we love, and those who influence us, make it clear that risk-taking is how we learn, improve, and challenge ourselves in everyday life. Risk-taking is how we see change. The risk I ask of our government today is scientifically proven to benefit our Earth. It is a risk I would be willing to take and an opportunity to create the future for those who will follow us. If not now, then when? As a government, you run our land, our country, and you represent us. But we also represent ourselves. We're next in line to take positions you hold in Parliament. But if you refuse to act now, then it's too late for us. You will leave us with a ruined planet, a ruined economy, and ruined lives. The climate crisis should be your focus, but it's not. Why? Why do you ignore it? Why do you continue to ignore it? We are gathered here today because we demand change, and we demand it from you. Stop hiding and start acting, because our future starts now, and we start this change.
Thank you so much, Owen, for that incredible speech. You really spoke with the voice of all of us students here as well as everyone else, so thank you so much. We would like to let everyone know that we are now at capacity for this event. If you can hear me and you're waiting outside the event, you need to make other plans and please move on, as we can allow no more people into the event. Next up, we're going to have some chance to really get you guys involved with the strike. All right. So, when I say climate, you say action. Climate.
Action.
Climate.
Action.
When I say climate, you say action. Climate.
Action.
Climate.
Action.
I think you'll all remember this one from other strikes.
Coal, don't dig it. Keep it in the ground, it's time to get with it. Coal, don't dig it. Keep it in the ground, it's time to get with it. Coal, don't dig it. Keep it in the ground, it's time to get with it. Coal, don't dig it. Keep it in the ground, it's time to get with it. Woo, well done. Thank you.
One more. The seas are rising. No more compromising. The seas are rising. No more compromising. The seas are rising. No more compromising. The seas are rising. No more compromising.
You sounded beautiful. Well done. Next speaker, we have cartoonist, celebrated children's author of the book The Carbon Neutral Adventures of the Indefatigable Enviro Teens and general national treasure, First Dog on the Moon. Please give him a warm welcome.
Hello. It is an honour to be here today. They told me I had to shout so the people down the back could hear, so I will. Sorry if that's loud for the people up the front. I was delighted to be asked here by the fabulous Schools for Climate people to speak to you. I am indeed First Dog on the Moon. I'm a cartoonist. Not entirely sure why I'm here, but I suppose that cartoonists are affected by climate change like everyone else, so that could be it. It is so wonderful to see you all here. We all seem to be having a nice time. I'm sorry that you need to come to this rally. I mean, it's not so bad, but still, all the rallies you'll have to come to for the rest of your lives. I've been doing it my whole life too. And it hasn't worked yet entirely, but don't let that stop you. Because the mass movement I can see that you're part of here today is, in my humble, no, actually very humble opinion, absolutely critical to climate change, to halting climate change. So this might be the most important thing you ever do, unless you become a cartoonist. So I just want to say hooray for all of you. I think it's fantastic. No, you are. You're fantastic. Now, as a cartoonist, my job is to mock the cruel and powerful. It's a pretty good job. I draw funny pictures for a living. It's not a real job at all. I get to make fun of pompousness and hypocrisy, also to advocate for the oppressed and the downtrodden, and not just people, but also drivers of loud cars, and creatures, the rights of penguins and fish and bees and so on, all of them, the whole planet, really. My cartoons have not yet saved the world. It took me a while to figure out that it wasn't going to happen that way. So I'm glad you're all here to do it, and I'm sorry, Owen, but the whole your generation are going to fix it thing, well, It's disappointing that many adults take that approach. I don't, of course, I'm different. So our problem is not how to fix climate change. We know how to do that. Our problem is the people who won't do it, the people in power. And now we know who's responsible for climate change. The fossil fuel CEOs and the executives and the shareholders, the denialists and the delayers and the doomers, the grifters in the media and the people in politics throwing money at fossil fuel businesses and covering for them. We know who to blame. And I love to blame people for things. I'm not sure it's helpful, but it's very satisfying. We know who it is and we know who it isn't. And I do ask that later on, when you're holding your international environmental crimes youth tribunals, that remember, I was on your side. Yeah. It's true. You don't have to clap the jokes, though. But anyway, we can point at Scott Morrison. And I don't think we should call him ScoMo, because he actually likes it. We can point to Scott Morrison, and we can say, climate change, it's that guy's fault. And to some extent, it absolutely is. But if the Prime Minister accidentally fell into a vat of jellyfish at the zoo, I'll take that. If the Prime Minister accidentally fell into a vat of jellyfish at the zoo and was eaten alive by all the angry jelly, and I'm not saying that should happen, this isn't that sort of rally, but if it did happen, now some people would be sad, other people would not be as sad, but whatever happened, he would be replaced very quickly by someone else who wanted to do the exact same things. Someone who was just as excited as Scott to make climate change worse. Someone possibly more dreadful than Scott. Is that possible? Could it be? I mean, what I'm saying is these are the specific people who are responsible for climate change. I think we should all boo Scott Morrison right now. Oh, that's fantastic. And I think we should say hooray for all the angry jellyfish that in my mind have eaten him. Hooray for the jellyfish. My point is that Scott can be replaced by another climate villain straight away. Scott, hard to believe, is not the problem. It is the system Scott represents. He's just a guy. He's a really weird, annoying guy who maybe should be eaten by jellyfish, but just a guy. In fact, if all of the people on Earth who are responsible for doing climate change right now were eaten by angry jellyfish or parrots or big spiders from outer space, if they were all eaten, then climate change would just keep going. Someone else would step up and take over. Because the system Scott Morrison represents, is the problem. It doesn't just let climate change happen. It actually encourages it. It rewards it. Now, some people call it capitalism. I do. But it isn't just responsible for climate change. The system we live under requires that billions of people around the world live in poverty and fear, that wars are fought to keep defence companies making money, that the 20 companies in the world that produce 55% of the plastic in the world's oceans, only 20 companies, that they are rewarded for producing that plastic, but are not ever expected to clean up. It's not democracy. This system eats democracy for breakfast and then poops out climate change. It just took us 200 years to bring the Earth to climate disaster. Only 200 years, and they knew about climate change. I don't know, it's like I read it 50 or 100 years ago, and they kept going anyway. They knew and they lied about it, and here we are. Shame. It makes me very cross. So what is the alternative? Well, that's a very good question, and you get to work it out, Owen and all your friends. I could tell you what I think, but if adults knew, we would have done it. All right. So good luck with that. Anyway, whatever you come up with, this system that we have will try and stop you. So we have to remember, here I'm telling you what to do, and that's to remember that climate change isn't just a bad thing all by itself. It's not just about climate. That is the biggest part. But why would we save the planet just so all these greedy human doorstops like Scott Morrison can keep trashing the place to make more money and to be mean to the penguins? Why would we stop climate change so that injustice and cruelty and greed could continue to grow and get even worse? So it's bigger than climate. I mean, look at the salmon farms. We could stop climate change tomorrow, and that'd be great, but they will continue to destroy the coast exactly the way they are today for years. We would have no climate change, but we'd also have no fish. So there's some good news. The International Energy Agency, who I had never heard of until this week, just declared the end of the age of fossil fuels over. No more exploration or mining should happen. And apparently they're very important. invented by Henry Kissinger, and it is their job to declare that the end of fossil fuels is over. So this is great news. Things are shifting, and it's literally because of what you are doing standing here today. You and all your comrades around the globe who keep turning up and who keep saying it's not good enough. Meanwhile, Scott Morrison is declaring a $600 million gas power station that nobody wants or needs. It's a disgrace. I don't think he's very good at his job, unless his job is making climate change worse, which it isn't. So, I'm going to do something I said I wasn't going to do, which is to tell you what I think you should do. You don't have to do it. I'm not a huge fan of parliamentary democracy. I know there are some representatives of parliamentary democracy here today, and bless them, they try their hardest. And it is the best we've got. So my suggestion is that on the day you turn 18, you get on the electoral roll and you vote. All right? There are a lot of problems. Well, there are a lot of problems with electoral politics. If you want to know what they are, you can read my cartoons. It is only one small part of the solution, but we also know, and this is important, that the government don't want you on the electoral roll. They don't want you to vote because they don't like the way they think you're going to vote, and I suspect they're probably right. Young people are a menace, frankly, because you tend to vote for what is right, not narrow, destructive self-interest, which, interestingly, that's how I vote too. Isn't that great? So we must absolutely stop digging up and burning fossil fuels. Like I said, even if we stopped climate change today, the world would still be full of injustice and cruelty and the wrong people being eaten by angry jellyfish. So the fight to stop climate change is the fight also to stop corruption and intolerance and exploitation. Literally the same fight. It is the fight for the rights of the dispossessed and the disenfranchised, the fight to return the lands of Indigenous people all around the world, the righteous and worthy struggle for every person on earth to have access to clean water and sanitation and food and housing and health care. In Australia, we can literally afford to end poverty tomorrow. You remember JobKeeper from COVID? Could well have been used to end poverty. Just bang, like that. And our government simply chooses not to. So what sort of people are we? So this is the fight for the oceans and the skies and the lands to be free of poison and coke cans and industrial farming and microplastics and the stuff that ends up in the stomachs of seabirds like clothes pegs and those stupid balloons with the helium in them. What is that even about? As I said, if adults knew what to do, we would have done it already. So I'd like to encourage you not to listen to adults except me when I just said that then. But other than that, forget it, all right? So we must be gentle and kind with each other. I know the time's passed for being gentle and kind with the greedy people who want to end civilization, but for the rest of us, you're absolutely fabulous. Keep doing what you are doing. It is wonderful. Be nice to each other and let's save the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you so, so much, First Dog on the Moon. Before we welcome our next speakers, we really, really need everyone to social distance. See the person next to you? Take a step away from them. Shuffle away from them. I know it's hard to hear at the back, but we need you to social distance. Go on, keep moving back. Move away from everyone. And please don't move together again. Move back, social distance. This is really important. Before we do welcome our next speaker, I would like to do a special mention to the friends of Glen Forbes Forest, who've been working incredibly hard to preserve this forest from logging. as it is an incredibly important natural environment and a store of a large amount of carbon. A big hand to all those lovely people here today. Next up, we have the amazing student organizer, Lucy Woodhouse from Tarama Steiner School. Please welcome Lucy, and please continue to social distance. I know it's hard, please move back.
My name is Lucy. I'm in year 8. And I'm here today because our world is dying due to the increasing alarming rate of change in our climate. Big politicians and anti-environmental corporations don't seem to be paying attention. So I'm here, like all of you, to make them pay attention. The world's continual need to use single-use materials, ripping coal out of our earth, using more of taxpayers' money to fund new gas projects, the cutting down of trees and open source fish farming is destroying our planet. People around the world have been rallying for climate action for decades, yet many governments refuse to listen. Our current government still seems to be unable to get that through their entitled heads that change in action is needed, and needed now. They're turning a blind eye to the real effects that climate change is having on our population. For example, the rate at which sea levels are rising will see many low-lying islands in Torres Strait disappear. Marine life is disappearing. Their fresh water supplies are ruined. Not only have they dealt with their land taken from them by white settlers, but we have continued to destroy their way of life. Their human rights continued to be violated. Disgraceful. The science could not be more clear. Mining and burning of coal, oil, and gas increases our climate crisis. We cannot continue to use these resources as a form of energy. Using these are adding to our extreme weather events. It adds to a long period between recent decent rainfalls and makes for a hotter, drier weather. The bushfire season of 2019 to 2020 saw mega fires eat its way across our country. People lost their lives, billions of wildlife gone, and homes destroyed. We look to our leaders for answers, but what do they give us? Denial. They deny the science. They continue to listen to big lobby groups who tell them that coal is the future. They refuse to call a climate emergency. They refuse to move us towards a net zero emission at the rate we should be. We look with hope that maybe, just maybe, the federal budget would move us towards a greener and renewable future, but they failed. They failed to stop funding gas exploration. They failed to stop to properly invest in renewable energies. They failed to think ahead of the generations who have to come after them. So what do? We do the opposite of what many of our big politicians and multinational corporations continue to do. We are not pretending that climate change is a myth. And we have shown this today by all of you being here. You're all legends. When the youth of Australia has to teach those who are supposed to be in power, you know something has gone backward. I want to say to everyone that is a politician who is ignoring the science, every single one of us, if not already, will be a voter one day. And you should be scared, because we are angry. You think you have no power, but you are short-sighted. We will be the ones deciding your political future. We will be the ones who put our hard-earned money into companies that are for the future, not just for profit. So the choice is yours. Sorry. So the choice is yours. Take us seriously now, or wait when we are the ones who decide your future. But until then, there are some things we can do right now. Reduce the levels of plastics being used in your homes. No matter how small or big it is, you reduce it by every bit counts. Donate your clothes to your local op shop to stop them going into landfill. And join your local climate group and start one at your school if there isn't one already. Because everything, no matter how small it is, counts. Finally, thank you all for being here. You are showing our leaders that we will no longer let them kill our future and destroy our planet. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy, for that amazing speech. I in no way want to detract from what Lucy has just said or from what those coming want to say, but we cannot continue this event until we see more socially distancing. So I'm sorry, but we can't go on until we see people apart.
I know it's hard to hear up the back, but we need to move out, and we will not go on with the next speech until we are socially distanced. Every people at the back, move back into the open spaces. We need you 1.5 metres apart at all times. This is vitally important.
Can't put the volume up anymore, I'm sorry. Okay, we think we're looking better now. Thank you very much for that cooperation. Well done. Thank you. Okay, next up we would like to welcome to the stage a musical performance from the band The Unknown. Please give them a welcome. Thank you.
Hi everyone, we're the Unknown. We've got a few songs for you. This first one's called Gather Round. People come and go, but the road keeps moving. I'm moving slow, I feel a cold change. But people are people, so gather round. I get them warm, cause they need it. I get them shorter, I get them warm. More than you'll ever see. More than you shall ever see. Together, round. We all need a helping hand.
Next one's a song I wrote. It's called I Can Hear the Rain.
I can hear the rain. Oh,
is my head. It's a small, small place. So I promise you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that you're with no name. Because I will sleep forever in my own happy world. Because I will sleep forever without being torn and without a word. Because I will sleep forever.
This next one, Fergus wrote, it's called Darkness.
Yeah. It's just your life that you live for. Head down, living your life. Everyone feels better sometimes. What's up? Oh, something that far, far on through my smile. Could you look your confusion out? I'm through the emptiness. I I'm worried about the sudden jumps. I look around and see that you run around like something. Pull up at a Zoom show at the South by rock and roll. Hey, I'm telling you now, every day go hear the beast sound and run around making mountains up outside the truck to rock it. I'm worrying about the sudden drop. It's hit me, and I don't know what I could say. Say such a thing to me 100 times. I go to sleep. Oh, I can't sweat dripping down my floor. A bad dream, some blackness. I try to walk away, but it never ends. I'm scared to live, but from the life, I'm hoping to the beat of my heart. Yeah, I'm falling about the sudden drop.
Song. Just before we play, I'd just like to give a big thanks to all the organisers and all you people coming here to tell the government that they need to act now. this next song is about climate change itself. It's called Open Your Eyes. To the world that's burning. You open your eyes to the animals crying. Look outside to the world that's dying. We can't run forever. We can't run. We can't run forever. We can't run forever. Open your eyes to the world that's burning. Open your eyes to the animals crying. Look outside to the world that's dying. The oscars are melting, the sea levels are rising. Why do we treat our world this way? We need to fight, we need to rise. We need to stand up to climate change. Why do we treat our world this way? I ask them why. Why do we treat our world this way? Please tell me why. Why do we treat our world this way? I ask them why. Why do we treat our world this way? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Unknown, for those amazing tunes. Just a reminder to continue social distancing. If you're not sure if you're 1.5 metres away from each other, just move back a bit further. Just keep moving. Keep going back. Keep staying socially distanced. Please. Next up, we have the amazing Alistair Allen from the Bob Brown Foundation to talk about the impacts of climate change on Antarctica. Please welcome Alistair.
I'm going to have to crouch a little bit. First off, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we're meeting today and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. First off, a couple of things. There's a video on the internet of Rage Against the Machine playing to like 10 people in the backyard. And what we just saw today from Unknown, I hope, will be that video. Those guys, I played guitar for like 15 years, and if I was as good as them at that age, I know I'd be touring the world. So Unknown, that was amazing. Thank you so much for the tune. Really, really great. Much like Top Dog on the Moon, it's hard to know why I'm here talking to you today. And when I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, I thought I'd talk a little bit about what it would be like to come to something like this when I was in school, which makes me feel old even saying, but I graduated high school in 2008, and if there was a climate strike rally back then in my little rural town in Harvey Bay in Queensland, I reckon there'd be maybe me, and that's about it that would turn out. So to see so many people here today is just overwhelming. It's amazing. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for coming out and for standing up for what you think is right. I think that's the really important thing here, is to acknowledge that, you know, what you think is right. You have a voice and you have a reason to be here, and I really, it's just amazing to see. So I was going to talk about Antarctica. Antarctica is a place that's very special to me. For 10 years I worked for a group called Sea Shepherd, and it's how I got involved in environmentalism in the first place. And I wanted to talk about that involvement and what it means to me to see so many people today also standing up and being involved. When I first joined Sea Shepherd, I had very little idea of what I was doing. I was heading to Antarctica, a place of wonder and amazement, but I had no idea what it would look like. But what it inspired me to go was that, much like you, there was something that I'd identified that was going wrong, and that was whaling. I grew up in Harvey Bay, as I said, and the whales used to visit there. every year they'd come up, and I'd found out that they were getting killed in a whale sanctuary down south. And when I went down there on the ship and to confront whaling, the question that ran through my 19-year-old mind is does my individual efforts make a difference here? And the power of the individual is something that's often overlooked, I think, and it's something that's really important. And we're here to get together. I mean, there's a huge amount of people here, but the power that you have as individuals to stand up and say what's right is massive. And so I went down to take on whaling, not knowing what that would lead to. And it was a long and hard fight, but now when we look back, whaling does no longer occur in the Southern Ocean. The whales there swim free, which is amazing. And it was part of a movement that had been around since the 70s, basically, to stop whaling. And it was a long, hard fight, but it was a fight that was won. And often, I think, when we look at environmentalism, we look, you know, right now with climate change and who we have in power, we look at their response to the climate crisis that is barreling towards us, it's very easy to think that it's very hard to have a win. It's impossible to score points on the board when it comes to the environment. but I'm here to tell you that's not always the case, and that you can make a difference as individuals, and it's really important that you do. It takes courage for you to all be here today. I think it's magnificent that you leave school. I think what you're doing here today is far more important than anything you could learn on a Friday in school. Fridays were a joke anyway. So it's just amazing to know that you guys can carry that you can carry this forward and out into the community, the wider community. And that's where your true power is to tell people that, look, this is happening, I care about it, listen to me, and that's how you end up with a win. Antarctica relies on it, Australia relies on it, the globe relies on it. It is a truly monumental case of injustice, as they were talking about. It's not just about the environment, it's about injustice and social injustice. And I just thank you all so much for being here today. And I know I didn't talk about Antarctica much, which is, why I was here, but I don't think Antarctica is the real issue here. The issue is that we need people to stand up and take action for climate, and you are doing that today. So thank you so much, and all the best. Cheers.
Thank you so much, Alistair, for that insight into a couple of issues that I would imagine a lot of us here today probably didn't know too much about until now. So thank you very much for that. Next up, we have another school activist student, Izzy, who will be performing some of her poetry. Can we please give her a massive welcome?
So this poem is titled Lucky. I'll just wait for the wind to stop. We are so lucky to live in Tasmania. You don't have to look hard to find beauty. Lush green forests, towering mountains, cascading waterfalls, and the way you can stare at the stars in the night sky and get lost. We are lucky to live in a place where the people celebrate that beauty. A place where we understand and appreciate just how lucky we are. A place where almost everyone knows about climate change, and if not, they are willing to learn. We are lucky to live in a place where the people are ready to fight for climate justice. Other countries are not so lucky. The forests, wastelands of dead tree stumps, their mountains relentlessly mined into, and their waterways choked with pollution. It's taken us too long to realize there is a problem, and we are running out of time. We are destroying our planet. We are destroying our future. We are destroying our children's future. And we are running out of time. Our planet is sending us warning signs. Our planet is crying out for help, rising the seas and burning our lands. Extreme weather events that will continue to escalate unless we do something. We need the government to make drastic and significant changes now, but they aren't. For a long time, we tried to get them to listen. We showed them concrete evidence of climate decline, and it wasn't until recently that they started listening. They've started making small changes, but they are still prioritizing the wrong things. So we've had to resort to this, to striking, to get the government's full and complete attention, to get them to listen and to take this threat seriously. But they can't fix this alone. It can sometimes feel like this fight is a losing battle, but 7 million people doing something small for the environment has a profound impact. That something small could be as simple as picking up a piece of trash or taking time to buy local produce. When we all work together, we can make a difference. Although Tasmania is lucky, we are not by any means immune. The effects of climate change reach us too. And if we stop caring, it can only get worse. We could easily keep taking and taking and taking from our planet until there's no turning back. But I still have hope for the future. I still believe we can get through this. We need to work together to fight this injustice, and I know we can. With the government prioritizing the right things and everyone contributing to the well-being of the planet, there's nothing we can't do. We can and will make a difference. And although we know what we actually need to do, it's a matter of actually doing it. We know where we want to be and where we need to be. It's just a matter of getting there, and that's going to take a lot of hard work. Because I want my children to grow up in a better world than I did. I want them to trust that the people in power will do the right thing. And I don't want them to believe that they have to strike to be heard. I want them to feel happy and safe and secure. I want my children to know what beauty is, and I want them to experience it every day. I want them to be able to look at the stars and get lost. And I want them to feel lucky. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Izzy, for that beautiful poem. Our final speaker for today is Sam Eccleston, another amazing student strike organizer from Taruna High School. Please welcome Sam.
Well, thank you for that kind introduction, Helena. And thank you for all the work that you and the rest of the incredible School Strike Nipaluna Hobart team have done to bring this strike to life. It wouldn't be possible without you. My name is Sam Eccleston. I'm 15 years old and a Year 10 student at Taruna High School, that most picturesque school that sits on the banks of the glorious Timtumali Menanya, the River Derwent. The river that comes flowing down from Tasmania's rocky plateau, through rolling hills, past Lunawana Alona, Bruni Island, and out to sea. A river that, sometime in the next 50 years, will break its banks, covering our city, Chelsea, sorry, covering our city in water and forever changing the lives that my generation, our children, and our oh my God. Okay, that's... Yep, yeah. Well, let's get that started again, shall we? I'm 15 years old and a Year 10 student at Taruna High School, that most picturesque school that sits on the banks of the glorious Timtumali Menanya, the River Derwent. The river that comes flowing down from Tasmania's rocky plateau, through rolling hills, past Lunawana Alona, Bruni Island, and out to sea. A river that, sometime in the next 50 years, will break its banks forever, covering our city in water and forever changing the lives that my generation, our children, and our grandchildren will have to face. To say this is not scaremongering, it is not disinformation, and it is not unrealistic. A 1 to 1.5 metre rise in global sea levels by 2075 is the bare minimum of what experts say we must prepare for if current emissions continue. But it's not the only thing that we must prepare for. We must also prepare for a longer, more intense bushfire season, so our city may not just be flooded, but burnt as well. We must also prepare for longer, more severe droughts, so that we must starve in our city of wet ash. We must also prepare for more extreme weather events, even in places that have not experienced them in the past. So maybe our city of damp ash, populated by citizens who do not have a stable food supply, may also be hit by a cyclone every summer. This barbaric vision for the future of our city is the future that the Morrison government is not only ignoring, but actively encouraging. Shame! The federal government's gas-led recovery promises ongoing support, financial support for gas, a serious, serious emitter. In its own right, for at least another 30 to 40 years. I say shame.
Shame!
They are trapping us in a cycle of emissions from which we may never be able to escape. Oh my God, this microphone's not treating me particularly nicely today. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to get back to you. This government is trapping us in a cycle of emissions from which we will never escape. Just 3 days ago, they announced the construction of a brand new gas-fired power station in New South Wales. There is only one thing we can say to this, and that is shame on you, Scott Morrison. Shame! It doesn't have to be this way. Australia will be spending $600 million on this new power station if the government gets their way. So let's see what we could have gotten for that money instead. Over in the solar corner, we've got the proposed Western Downs solar farm in Queensland, which would generate the exact same as the gas plant while delivering twice the total power output and zero emissions. Zero emissions. If you look at wind, we've got the Yandin wind farm in South Australia, which generates the same output as the gas facility, and it was recently completed for $400 million, a third of what this gas plant would cost. Overall, this is shameful that the Scott Morrison government is continuing to push these technologies when they are just not, they're not economical, they are not sensical, and we do not stand for them as the citizens of Australia. I have been so alarmed by this ever-mounting evidence that I've become a climate activist and a school striker, but not because I want to be one, but because our government's ignorance has given me no other choice. Since May last year, I've been an organiser with School Strike for Climate, here in the beautiful city of Nipaluna, Hobart, organising these events, speaking to politicians and the media, and getting the awareness around these issues that we so desperately need. My story of climate activism is not the only one. All over the world, thousands of organisers and hundreds of thousands of strikers have been marching, chanting, and working in solidarity with each other, including all of you here today. I have been lucky enough to hear some of these stories, and I thought that through hearing the stories of others, those all around the globe, I might bring you a bit of hope in this sea of despair. Eyal Weintraub is an 18-year-old from Argentina and the co-founder of Jóvenes por el Clima Argentina. He was inspired to act where he saw indigenous Argentines having their land rights denied and their sovereignty ignored. The organisation that he and his schoolmates founded organised in less than 2 months the largest student protest movement in the history of Argentina. Johanna Hartmann is a 24-year-old from Hungary who was inspired to act when she saw Greta Thunberg leading strikes across Sweden. She helped organise the walkout of 7,000 Hungarian high school students. Remy Zayiga is a 26-year-old from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. He founded a group in his home country that fights to protect the Congo Basin, one of the largest waterways in Africa and a central part of the food supply of over 1.5 billion people. All of us may come from different countries with different backgrounds, races, languages, and cultures. But we have one thing in common. We are not climate activists because we want to be. We are climate activists because it is what we must do for the good of us all. I conclude my speech today by first addressing you, you incredible people who have come out today to show solidarity with us and this global movement. Our bright future is still within our grasp. Join School Strike if you can. Organise, work, fight with us. Together, we will win this together. And to Prime Minister Scott Morrison, I say, as Einstein once said, You cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created it. Your failure is a failure to think and to imagine. So be brave, be bold, be strong. The young people and the people of Australia demand it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for that incredible speech. And I think we can all say well done, Sam, for carrying on through those technical difficulties. Very well done. Thank you. We have a couple of last things to say, but please don't go away, because in a couple of minutes, I don't even want to say a couple, in a minute, the MP band will be on stage and they're going to be amazing. So don't go away.
We would like to thank everyone for coming along today to demand that our government act on our future and stop funding fossil fuels and gas. Before the MP come on, we also need to say an incredibly big thank you to the student organisers who have made this event possible. An enormous amount of work goes into organising this event, and these student organisers work 7 days a week to get this done, and they are absolutely incredible. We'd also like to say a massive thank you to our marshals who have helped us throughout this event. We're also selling stickers after the event near where you entered at the side of this round thing in the middle where Gypsy in a yellow vest is waving at the moment, and Ella.
Again, if you are a student and this strike has got you feeling inspired, then please check out the QR codes on the back of the Marshall's vest, fill out the form, come along, it's great fun, and you can take great action here. We would love to now welcome the MP band to the stage. Just a quick reminder, please do not take any action after this strike that could compromise the work of these student leaders. Big welcome to the MP band. Thank you very much.